When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to your latest Sports Fancast match preview. As always, I'm your host, Little Dan. I've got with me two new guests that are joining the Fancast ranks tonight. I've got with me Twitter sensation, Dean Marsden.
That's Gav, not me.
I've got an even bigger intro for Gav in a second. And obviously, Gav Dhaliwal, below. Guys, welcome to the Wolves Fancast. I'm going to ask you both the questions that we ask new guests every time they join us. Gav, come you first. Yeah. Who's your favourite Wolves player that isn't Steve Ball? Do you remember much of Steve Ball playing, Gav? You're only a youngster and you're 25.
Oh, yeah, 25. So I was born in 98. I'm not too sure when he retired, to be honest. Was it about 98 then?
98, 99, I think, around that time. Yeah. So just all YouTube highlights for you then.
Yeah, basically, yeah, more or less. So for me, it would be someone that I grew up with, that would be Coitley, to be honest. As a kid, he was like the, you know, when we were chasing playoffs and stuff under Mick McCarthy, he was like the main man, weren't he, really, with Ebanks Blake. So, yeah, mine's Michael Coitley.
Yeah, Coitley and Jarvis, that promotion season was seriously electric on those wings for us. What's your favourite Wolves away day that you've experienced that isn't like a big one, like the, you know, the playoff final or, you know, Europe?
Probably wouldn't have been to the playoff final either, to be honest. Although I've been about five then. I think for me, it would have been Torino was a good one. I think some of the European games were class, to be honest. I mean, Besiktas was, you know, it was a good result, great city, and the atmosphere there, the fans were crazy, whistling throughout the whole game. But I have to go with Torino, to be honest, personally.
I was on BBC WM before the show tonight talking about, obviously, the weekend's games, and there was some Villa fans talking about how their sort of ticket policy for their upcoming European games has been a bit difficult to get basically people who've had a season ticket for like 1 year and getting like the same priority levels as people who've gone like home and away for years. Yeah. And I literally said to them, even if you can't get a ticket, just go and see your team play abroad. Yeah. Because like the experiences that I had when Wolves in the Europa, I went to the games, but I had mates come with me who haven't even like been to Wolves away games in like the Premier League, never mind in Europe, but just go enjoy the experience. It's like, you never know when you're going to taste it again. Hopefully we'll get there one day. Dean, come to you with your questions. Who's your favourite Wolves player? Is it Steve Ball?
See, I'm probably going to, I think you might have to exempt Ruben Neves moving forward as well. But to go back,
we are at that age bracket now where obviously when Josh joined us in Dublin for the Celtic pre-season friendly, basically he made me feel like I was in the Ron Flowers era. He made me feel that old.
Yeah, it was so bad. Like, I'd put his passport information in. I'm like 2002. I'm like, mate, give over. But for me, a bit left, it's probably Colin Cameron, because when I was at school, he was the Wolves player at the time. I was like, you know what? He's small. He's a centre attacking mid. It was me. So I was like, you know what? Colin Cameron's my favourite player. But yeah, I think it was Cameron. And away day, if you allow it, it's got to be the 10K to MK.
Yeah.
Because it was just like mayhem.
Utter bonkers. Obviously, Luke, who's on the fan cast with us, we had a minibus pick us up from the Swan in Darlaston. Broke down as soon as he got in the car park, and we ended up getting a 9-seater taxi from Darlaston to Milton Keynes with like 13 of us in it. I'm only like 5'3", was in like the footwell of people in the taxi. Yeah, bonkers away. One of the worst games of football that we saw in that League One campaign. But like you said, the atmosphere that day was bonkers. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Wolves and Villa game a bit later on, but thanks for joining us on the Wolves Fancast. At Wolves Fancast across all social media, part of the Audi network, and our main sponsors, the Boston Coffee Company. It's game week 8 of the Premier League this weekend, and obviously some big fixtures there. Luton kick off the weekend at home to Spurs, Burnley, Chelsea, Everton, Bournemouth, Fulham, Sheffield United, Man United at home to Brentford, and Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest is the Saturday evening kickoff on telly. That's going to be one that I don't think I'll be making the effort to watch. Sunday, Brighton at home to Liverpool, West Ham, Newcastle, and then the Super Sunday fixture, Arsenal at home to Man City. Looking at those fixtures there, Gav, who's your banker to win this weekend?
I think it's got to be United. I think, you know, even though they've had a bad run of form, it's like you're waiting for them to turn the tide, really. And they're always going to nick a win somewhere, aren't they? So I think Brentford at home, I think they've got to win with all the pressure that they're going to be under, having lost the last couple of games. I'd have to put United, yeah.
I think Erik ten Hag is under massive pressure at the moment, similar to Gary O'Neill has been under recently, is that you've got to give this guy time, but the longer he doesn't get results, and it's even bigger expectations for Man United. They don't win like two games, it's like the end of the world, never mind not being a title race for like nearly coming up to like 10 years or whatever it is now. It's a big struggle for Man United. I'd love to see it, to be honest, but let us know in the comment section if you love Man United's demise. Dean, where's your money this weekend?
Spurs for me. They look so good under Ange. I just think Luton, they'll try and dig in, but I just think that Madison, Son, they'll just have too much for them. I think they'll steamroll them 3 or 4 in the end.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult season for Luton. Obviously, the Paldy back to 1-1 against us, and you thought Classic Wolves was going to appear. We was going to throw away the point, but yeah, Luton are going to struggle this season. They don't seem to have much firepower, and like the defence, like Tom Lockyer, and they ain't Premier League standard, are they? I'm going to go maybe a bit bonkers this weekend. I think the banker this weekend is Arsenal to beat Man City. I've just got a feeling. Arsenal have been pushing them the last like couple of seasons. Man City, I don't think are the same team without Rodri in that midfield. Haaland doesn't seem to be hitting the form that he did last season. Yeah, Man City could easily turn up and steamroll Arsenal, but I just think Arsenal at home, their fans behind them, the fact that they've been pushing Man City, I feel like Arsenal are going to try and put a mark against, try and get back in that title race on Sunday, and that's why I think Arsenal will just about edge it. It's going to
depends
be another
if
big
Saka's
week.
Fit for me with the City game. If Saka's fit, I think like Arsenal probably will win it, but yeah, he's like what, 50-50, 75 at the minute, so he's a massive loss for them.
He was touch and go last week as well, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's gone off the last two games with an injury. It's like, I'm not sure what Mikel Arteta is thinking. I mean, they ended up losing to Lons 2-1 in the week, and did he really need to play in that game? Obviously, Mikel Arteta thought he needed a strong enough side to beat Lons, but just to risk a long-term injury for Kai Osaka, which it might end up being, just seems a bit naive to me, but that's how heavily
he'll probably play him. Arsenal, isn't he? He'll probably play him, bring him off after an hour so that he pulls out of England duty.
It's another thing, as an Arsenal fan, you've got to be massively frustrated that he's been called up, but it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think one of the informed players for me we'll talk about in depth now, because we'll talk about Wolves Villa, is Ollie Watkins, who's made his return to the England squad. I think he'll be a massive massive part in this game on Sunday. One of the dilemmas that we put out on the Wolves Fancast Twitter earlier is for you, Gav, would you keep the same team or would you revert back to a back four?
I'd have to stay with the back five, to be honest. I mean, just seeing how Villa set up, I'm pretty sure they're playing a similar formation to how Man City do in terms of the 4-2-3-1. So it'd be like a replica of what we did last week, really. I think the whole setup, the whole tactics, the way we went about it, it should be exactly the same. Obviously, it's Villa, not Man City, so we're going to be expected to come out a little bit more. But I think if we can have the same game plan as we did last week, I think you can't go wrong. I think if Dawson can stay on Watkins again like he did in Haaland, I think everything would have fallen into place, really.
Yeah, I'm of the impression that I feel we need to keep that that back five again. I think we need to stop any of these sort of passing passages either side. Watkins wants to play on the shoulder, doesn't he, of these centre backs? So if Totti and Kilman can like sort of crowd him out, I think that's the way forward. I'm not sure on the fitness status of Diaby and Kamara, but from the games that we've seen so far this season, if Diaby does play on Sunday, he's going to be a massive danger, isn't he, Dean?
I think so. That's where you're looking for Lamina to do a job on him. The back five makes so much sense at the minute, because Watkins gives you that. He's that threat in behind and he wants to stretch. So if you've got that, Zaniolo and McGinn naturally come in. But one thing about Brighton is when Villa played Brighton, they played a really high back line.
Yeah.
So that then gives us a bit more opportunity over the top with the pace we've got to look to then kind of exploit that the same as what we did against City. So like Gav said, it's pretty much a like for like on the tactics board for O'Neill.
Yeah, that front three, I don't think can be changed, can it, Gav? I feel there's still a lot of people who've got the jury out for Cunha as a number nine, but for me, he's one of the first names on the team sheet.
I think obviously everyone's going to look at his goal record at the minute, and obviously it's not for a number nine and how much we paid. People are going to be asking questions, but you know what he did for Huang's goal, that's exactly what he's in the team for, isn't he? Just to like link the play, try and get Neto and Huang involved. He's a bit like what Firmino was to Liverpool, wasn't he? You know, if you think Salah is Huang in this situation, Neto being Mane, you've got like the false nine in Cunha, essentially, just to get Neto and Huang into the game. So, yeah, I think they'll call all sorts of problems for Villa, hopefully.
I had a bit of a, how do I word it? I'll do it politely, a verbal battle with some Villa fans on the back on the train last night from Birmingham. Obviously, they beat, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Nijinsky Mostar. I believe I'm going to have an attempt at when I got to Birmingham New Street in the evening and saw like 400 of them on New Street platform. I thought, I don't want these to start. I was glad I was getting off the train and not on the same train as they. They all looked game. 400 bald Eastern European tattoos on the necks. It just, all it needed was just one punch. I felt like the whole of New Street was going to go up. They brought an absolute atmosphere to Villa Park tonight. Did you see much of the game, Dean?
I saw clips. I was watching the Fiorentina game. That tends to be the games I watch, but I watched the highlights back because I knew that obviously we got the pod, so I had a little listen. And then a little watch of a few videos and stuff. But first of all, can I just say how tin pot Villa are because the empty seats that were there. Your first game back in Europe for how many seasons and you can't even feel it. That's a joke in itself. But they just didn't really look that creative going forward. If you compare it to Brighton, they didn't really create much. So I don't know. Is that a blueprint for us to sit back and go on the low block? I don't know.
Yeah, from the bits that I heard on the train on my way home last night and the bits that I listened to on BBC WM earlier, they felt the first half was really lackluster. Like you said, didn't really create much. Second half, as soon as they brought on the big guns, Ollie Watkins, Douglas Luiz, I can't think who the third one was who they mentioned, but he said that they were a different team once Ollie Watkins was on leading the line. I think they had Leander Dendonca and Youri Tielemans in their midfield, and like they mentioned on the radio earlier, that neither of them have got much mobility, and the Bosnian side had a game plan which they executed well. Obviously, lost it deep into injury time, but hopefully, the fact that Villa had to bring on the big players and had to spend a bit of energy to get that win, hopefully, we'll play to our advantage, Gav.
Yeah. I mean, I had a look at the lineup. I think they had six or five players that started the Brighton game. Obviously started this game. So I think they must have rested Diaby, Watkins, Kamara.
Diaby's still a fitness doubt at the moment. He's been injured. I think he came off injured against Brighton, and they haven't. Yeah. Unai Emery's been a bit reluctant to mention in press conferences how bad an injury it is.
Trying to keep his cards close to his chest, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he mentioned Diaby and Kamara will be... I think he said they'll train with the team tomorrow. Then they will make a decision on how they kind of come out the back of that.
They'll be fit. They'll play on Sunday.
Yeah, if them training tomorrow, you imagine on that they'll feature at some point. While they obviously Douglas Luiz has been one of their better midfielders for the last 2 years. Kamara has been brought in on a relatively small value compared to the rest of the transfer market in the last couple of years. He's a decent midfielder. I still don't like John McGinn, but Villa fans rave about him, don't they? I think he's a sort of player. He just runs his socks off, doesn't he?
Yeah. Just a workhorse, isn't he? And sometimes that's what you need in a team, don't you, most of the time?
Let's see. I think obviously Villa have got that sort of option to go to a midfield three flat. I think McGinn does try to cover the right-hand side, but he will like to come in on into the centre, which hopefully leaves Ait Nouri and Pedro Neto overloading on Matty Cash. Just how impressive have you been with Pedro Neto this season, Gav?
Oh, he's been class, hasn't he? I mean, I think we saw in that COVID season what he's capable. That was the potential that we saw, didn't we, in that COVID season. And obviously that he's had a few injuries here and there since then. And I mean, last season I lost a bit of faith in him, I'll be honest. Just having watched him, he didn't look quick. He didn't want to take, he was scared to take people on, wasn't he? Even at the start of the season when we played Everton and he's one-on-one with Ashley Young and you're thinking, go on, have a go, you know what I mean? Just have a run at him. But he didn't want to know. He kept on cutting inside. And fair enough, he cut inside, put the cross in for Kolasinac, and that's how we scored the goal. But the first couple of games, he looked scared, but now I think he's full of confidence. He wants to take everyone on now, doesn't he? He takes 3-4 players on, he don't care no more.
Yeah, I remember going to the Benidorm pre-season, the start of last season, and he looked sharp in that pre-season. Then a few weeks into the game, I think he had a really good game. I think he was at home to Fulham. I think we drew 0-0. Mitrovic missed the penalty. He looked sharp that day. And then he picked up another injury. He never got back to sort of firing on all cylinders, did he, last season, Dean?
No, I don't think so. But I think this is the first time he's actually fully fit. And he backs himself again now. And he's actually been vocal about O'Neill. And O'Neill's come in and said, look, you're my main man now. You need to step up. And he has. I think Matt Hobbs mentioned it in his recent interviews as well, that Pedro's stepping up on and off the pitch. So he's seeing that and he's showing it. He's leading by that example. He's filling that little gap that Neves filled, where he wasn't very vocal, but with Pedro, he's this big personality as well. So if he's firing on all cylinders and he's up for it, he's going to bring everybody else up with him, I think.
If anyone out there hasn't listened to the Wolves Weekly episode with the interview with Matt Hobbs, I implore you to go and listen to it. I was really impressed with what came out of that episode. I feel that, I've been saying it recently, Gary O'Neill needs to be given time. It is difficult to give a manager time when he's not picking up results, but the win over Man City gave him a bit of respite. And if he can sort of initiate a game plan, which scuppered Man City last weekend, I think he deserves more time. You hear other things that Matt Hobbs came out with regards to. The one line that really stood out for me was the club had finally got hold of their recruitment, which just led to the fact, didn't it, that they've just gave Jorge Mendes so much free reign over the last few years. And for me, on the back of this last summer transfer window, it feels like we're heading in the right direction. If we can, you know, just get comfortably steady this season, then we can go again in the summer. Who knows where we can go under Gary O'Neill? Because obviously he has got ideas. He has mentioned that a lot of these players have been playing off the cuff recently. And if they can start listening to his game plan, who knows where we can end up? You've mentioned sort of Pedro Neto's sort of become a bit of a key player in the dressing room on the back of that interview. Another player that's really in form at the moment, Gab, is Hwangi Chan, another goal last weekend. I think Dean just mentioned about how Neto's fully fit. Hwang looks fully fit for the first time in old gold.
Yeah, and you know what? He's just there at the right time at the right place, isn't he? Every time, all the time. And even though if you look at his montage of Wolves goals, they're not exactly the cleanest, but it doesn't matter, does it? He's just there at the right place at the right time. And also, you can ask. We've had 2 years of having no strikers in the box. You know what I mean? Ultimately. Yeah. So, you know, he's getting into the positions. And he's another one where, you know, against United, when he was up against Wan-Bissaka, he actually took him on. He actually went past him a few times. And that's something we never saw last season. So, like, you know, he looks fit. He looks confident. And, you know, I never thought I'd say that we've got actually two confident, productive wingers.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time.
That's key for me at the moment, is the fact that we've actually got players in the final third who look to be in form. Our form players in recent years have either been centre-halves or Ruben Neves, haven't it? Or Jose Sarr. It's nice to actually, we've got two attacking players who are in good form. And we already mentioned him earlier, Mateus Cunha. I know he's not got the goals against his talent this season, but I still think he's in form. He creates a lot. His ball-carrying ability is second to none. And he'll be key again on Saturday. Sunday.
He's integral to how O'Neill wants to play. He referenced that pivot. Like Gav got that really good analogy with Firmino earlier. It is like he drops in and lets the other two just go, and he's that link between the midfield and attack, which we've lacked when we had Neves and Matinho. They were so artistic and they were so this, but they lacked the mobility to be the connection between the two. It was always give it to Adama. Before that, it was lump it over the top for Jota.
Yeah.
So Cunha is so important to being the link there. And tomorrow, on Sunday, he will occupy Kamara and Luiz, whichever two of them sits there. one of the João Gomes will move forward, Lamina will sit. So those two are already occupied by our players, which then frees up. Then Torres, Cons, I don't rate Torres very much. Cons is a decent defender, but they won't know whether to go or whether to stay because he's just so hard to pick up because he floats between the lines.
Yeah, Pau Torres has come with a bit of a reputation on the back of that Villarreal bandwagon of a few like sort of good European adventures, but he hasn't really stood out so far. Obviously, losing Tyrone Mings to long-term injury is a blow for Aston Villa. Obviously, Emi Martinez has stepped up with the captaincy. Who else in that sort of team concerned you, or who do you think we can exploit, Gav?
I think, depending on how far he gets up on Sunday, it'll probably be Matty Cash, to be honest. You know, as good as Nouri's been recently, there's still a question mark on the defending. And to be fair, he's been great. I've had no problems with him. It's just maybe the lapse in concentration. I mean, against Brighton, you know, the first goal came from Matty Cash running in behind the Brighton left back, and then he puts a ball in across to Watkins. So it's just being a bit. It's just about being sharp in those positions, really. So yeah, Cash for me probably.
Yeah, I've never been a massive fan of Matty Cash. I was on a Villa podcast about maybe a year and a half ago, and I was calling him Matty Gash at the time because I just feel like he's a good Premier League right back, but I don't think he's a sort of right back that if you're going to be pushing for sort of top six, top four, I think he's a player that can be exploited. I think he's got a lot of pace, but I still think defensively he's a bit suspect, whereas Luca Digne on the left for Villa is a very good crosser of the ball, but I don't think he's got the pace to cope with our right-hand side, whether it's Smado or Huang, and then if Cunha doubles up with them, I think that is definitely that side of Villa's defence, Digne and Torres. I think if we can get in behind there, or you know, just quick 1-2s either side of them through the passing channels, I think that's the area that we can definitely exploit on Sunday, Dean.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, the both fullbacks would be your ones because of Emery liking this midfield box that he does now and again, where he makes it like a midfield four in a box. You've got the fullbacks are exploited. So a lot of them, they want to bomb on a little bit like Lopetegui did at Sevilla. The fullbacks, they just attack. So if you've got Digne, who, yeah, he's class on the ball and his delivery is excellent, but if we can get twos on ones against those two, that's the place to look at. You're looking at the quick release. You look at the second goal against City, classic example. Left back's bombed on. Kilman's got it, knocked it over the top for Samado. Cross has come in. That has to be your outboard, I think, in behind the fullbacks.
I was impressed with Max Kilman. I've made it clear over the years on the Fancast now that I've not been Max Kilman's biggest fan, but I was impressed with the way that he defended. I thought it was a bit. I was a bit nervous with him back on the right side of our defence on Saturday against City, but obviously a lot of his best fixtures for Wolves have been on that side. The way he carried the ball out from the our own half in the first half with that step over and then winning the free kick. Hey, that didn't get a yellow card, still bewilders me, but
he's
where the five comes in.
A bit of form, doesn't it?
It's where the five helps you because it frees Kilman up to go marauding. He hasn't got to worry about it. He can carry that ball and Totti can...
They've got pace, across. Haven't they, to bring the ball out? I think like people have compared sort of Totti to like Ella Kobe recently, but I feel like Totti's got so much more ability with the ball than what I just love Totti's. He's resilient, and you can just tell he every single challenge is with 100%. There's no fear of him. I love his resilience, Totti.
Yeah,
he came through as a left back, so he's got to be decent enough on the ball. Because he didn't start as a centre back. He was a left back at Estoril.
Yeah, and Lopetegui played him there all season, didn't he? Left back, so he was comfortable with him having the ball in that position, wasn't he? So, 100%. You know, yeah.
For your comments, shout out for Totti. It'll always be Matty Gash on the inside for still with that. There is no sort of proper rivalry. It's a social media rivalry, isn't it, with Villa? Yeah. The concern for me is that we have got a bit of a hoodoo over Villa, haven't we? Look at the recent sort of years. I think they've only beat us once at Molineux, and that was during the pandemic season. That hoodoo you'd think would like to come to an end. Well, you wouldn't like to think would come to an end, but I've been saying that our hoodies over the Albion's got to come to an end at some point, and that just seems to drag on, doesn't it? Is there any fear that Villa could get a result for you on Sunday, Gav?
To be fair, before the City game, I actually thought, I was talking about this hoodoo and stuff that Villa have, but we have over Villa. I actually thought that they were going to beat us before the City game. After the City game, it's literally just changed everything. My whole mindset on this team, I just changed over one result. You know what I mean? It's crazy how one result can just change your whole perspective of things. So I don't think they will, to be fair. I do back us to win, but I think it'll end up being a draw, to be honest.
Yeah, just bipolar Wolves. That's what we are. I mean, one win, and we're back in the title race again. I said if we beat City at the Etihad, we're back in the title race. We am. it's going to be a tough game. Villa are in form. Brighton are still one of the best teams I've seen at Molineux the last two or three seasons, and for Villa to put six past them, it's going to be a difficult game. Where does your sort of score prediction end up on Sunday, Dean?
2-1 Wolves. I'm going for. Okay. I think we've got the mindset for me changed because last week showed that they've got like the cojones about them. Like I didn't think they had that digging mentality to just like grind out the result and come back again, because we've seen it so many times this season. We've started well, but then when someone's not gone against us, we've then gone down the other way. This is the first one where we've kicked on again, and they'll take a lot of confidence from that. And they'll know, you know what, we can do exactly the same now. We can really take the game to Villa, and Villa will be confident. But again, yesterday will take some out of them as well. Like, we, you know, it's quite funny this time, 4 years ago, where we did the Besiktas and City.
Yeah.
So I think they was at home. It was a bit of a lethargic performance for the majority of it. They've got a couple of fitness doubts. It's a decent time to attack them going into the international break.
Yeah, it's massive. If we can go into the international break on the back of another 3 points, it's big for Gary O'Neill. It's big for the team belief as a whole. I hope we can get the win on Sunday. What's your score prediction, Gav?
I'm going to go 1-1. I think it's going to be a cagey game. I think Emery knows that if he goes for it, then he's going to be exposed at the back. Was, you know, even Pep mentioned it was Neto, Cunha, Huang. On the transition, we're going to hit him hard.
He didn't say Wang, did he?
The Korean guy. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He literally set himself up, didn't he? I said it in our WhatsApp group before the game. I said it was all set up for a Huang 1-0, but we ended up with 2-1 in the end.
That whole game was scripted, wasn't it? I mean, Nunes coming back, getting booed on every touch, getting hooked at halftime. You know, Pep forgetting Huang's name and then Huang scoring the winner. It was just meant to be, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah, Gary O'Neill.
Yeah, I'll go for 1-1 for
the game as well. 1-1, Gav's going for. Like I mentioned, I had a bit of a verbal battle with some Villa fans on the train after the game last night. And they were very sort of, not demoralised, they were a bit disheartened after the game last night. And the one guy said they'd be happy with a draw on Sunday. And that's when my sort of spidey senses tingled for a second, because I was like eating that up to a degree. He looked at me and said, you'd take a point at Wolves on Sunday, wouldn't you? And I was like, no. And he was like, you want to take a point at Wolves? I was like, no, because I want 3 points off you lot on Sunday. That's when it flipping clicked that I was Wolves and I was outnumbered by a good five or six Villa fans. all obviously bigger than me, because everyone's bigger than me. But hopefully we can get the win on Sunday. I think that the fact that they'd be happy coming to Wolves on the back of beating Brighton 6-1 and just how impressive they've been under Unai Emery since he's taken over. They should be looking to come towards getting a win on Sunday. If they've got any hopes of finishing top four this season, they've got to be coming to Molineux on Sunday and getting the win, because I don't think they'll finish lower than sixth or seventh this season. I think that they've got a bit of momentum as a club.
I think it's a failure if they don't finish in the top seven, really, was the money that they spent. I think anything below top seven, I think they've got to be asking questions, really.
Yeah, he did say, so all Villa fans would bite your hand off for another top six finish, but
yeah.
I don't feel there's that many teams. I think it's Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool top three, and then I think it's between Newcastle, Villa and Tottenham for the fourth place this season. So I don't see why Villa can't be pushing for that top four, but obviously they've not got as much belief as I would have as a Villa fan, but that's probably just their mentality.
They're like where we were 4 years ago. Like we got that seventh, but where Fosun have like put the anchors on a little bit back then, their owners put the money in the pocket and they've gone again. So they need to keep delivering.
Yeah.
Andrew Knight has said, I'd love nothing more than a clean sheet. It would do the defence the world of good. Mike Evans has asked, will Jean-Ric Nabelgaard be available after the international break? I believe this is his last suspension game, isn't it? So it'll be interesting to see how Gary O'Neill sort of incorporates Bellegarde back into the team after the international break, especially if we get a win, because, you know, Gary O'Neill, he had a dream to...
Lamina's on four bookings, so he'll get booked and he'll miss Bournemouth's. Then Bellegarde will come straight in for Lamina, I reckon.
Lamina's on four, Samado's on four, and João Gomes is on three as well. There is room for Bellegarde to come in. But Bubgar Troy already did well when he came on against Man City as well.
He did. He's done well. He
knows his job, doesn't he? Comes on, he knows what he has to do, wins the ball back, and he's quite quick, isn't he? For obviously he's a big lad. But he's a good ball carrier, to be honest.
Yeah, I think with Bellegarde coming in for Lamina, though, if we're going away to Bournemouth and afterwards, you're going to want to go a bit more attack minded. So if you have Bellegarde in there, you have you could even play a 4-3-3 and have kind of two attacking minded midfielders and have Gomez as the sitter.
Yeah,
and go on a little bit more.
That's another big game coming up, isn't it, for Gary O'Neill? Obviously, what's his name? Iriola, ain't it? The Bournemouth manager. His job's on the line at the moment, according
to... They haven't won a game, have they?
Yeah, I just think they haven't.
I think they've just drew three, haven't they? Or drew three or four?
Yeah,
I read on Twitter earlier that some Spanish clubs was looking at offering him a job if Bournemouth get rid of him.
Almira.
So that's another big game. He'll want to put a marker on Bournemouth, won't he? Gary O'Neill, the way he was sacked.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's look again quickly at the game week 8 fixtures. What sort of Brighton Liverpool, Gav? Where do you stand on that going on Sunday?
Well, I think Brighton have a bit of a sticky patch, haven't they? Obviously, they were 2-0 down to Marseille, but then obviously pulled it back 2-2. So they'll probably be a bit on a high coming off the back of that. But should be a good game. I don't know how to call it, to be honest. I'd probably go Liverpool if I had to choose someone. But yeah, it would be a great game to watch, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think Liverpool probably just edge it. Brighton do seem to have come a bit unstuck. Obviously, the way that Unai Emery set up Villa to batter them last weekend will probably be watched a lot by the likes
of... I think they were a bit unlucky last week, though, to be fair. I mean, I don't know if anyone believes in XG, but the XG was so similar. I think Villa had 1.9. I think Brighton had 1.7. And, you know, I think Villa scored, two deflected goals, three deflected goals. So I think 6-1 was a bit harsh on them, to be fair. So I think it's just one of them. Like the Sheffield United game, getting battered 8-0. Sometimes it's just a one-off, isn't it?
Yeah, let's have a look at the fixtures again. Obviously, Man United, Brentford, Gav had Man United down as his banker.
Yep.
The other game that's interesting for me, there's some really good fixtures on Sunday, isn't there? West Ham are in a really decent form at the moment. James Ward-Prowse's really made me eat humble pie, because I was saying he wasn't worth anywhere near the money that West Ham spent on him. Newcastle, massive win over PSG the other night. I had Newcastle to beat PSG 2-1 on the Super 6. I never saw 4-1 coming, but Newcastle just made me jealous. They're the club that we should be. The momentum that they've got, and the owners that I'm willing to spend, that should have been us. We should have been the ones having those European nights. Where do you think that game will be won on Sunday, Dean? West Ham, Newcastle?
See, Newcastle, are they either going to be riding the wave from PSG or they're going to come crashing back down? And I really don't know where it's going to come. But David Moyes is... They're at West Ham, are at home. They're always decent enough at home. I know Antonio is an injury doubt, I think. So it depends who he's going to play up top. Like, Bowen's on fire, as the song goes.
Yeah, like Danny Dyer.
I think Newcastle will carry that wave on. I think they'll get a result, I think. I think it'd be close, though. I think only a goal or so in it. The interesting one for me was Everton-Bournemouth.
Oh, definitely.
Massive game, that is.
Everton at home again.
Yeah,
Everton at home to Bournemouth. I mean, I don't know which Twitter channel it is, but when the Everton fans go live after a defeat, it's literally you have to set aside a good half an hour to enjoy that day that I got. To be honest, you would as an Everton fan. Yeah, Twitter spaces. You would as an Everton. You'd be so livid the way their club's being run and the way it's looking like going. If they get relegated and have to spend their first season of the Championship in a new stadium, it's got disaster written all over it.
It'll be so good.
They've been on that tightrope for too long, haven't they? They need to go down at some point.
Everyone goes at some point, don't they? Happened to Villa, happened to Sunderland. If you start floating around the bottom for a couple of years, you end up getting sucked in, don't you, at some point?
there'd be nothing better than watching that fume of watching Everton go down. Like, I'm going to channel my inner Jafal here. I'd absolutely love it if Everton went. Because they're just, they've got all the FFP stuff. They've spunk loads of money and got nothing for it. They're actually a horrible team to watch. It's proper Brexit ball dodge stuff. It'd just be beautiful to watch them go.
Inevitable, really, I think.
It's been coming, hasn't it? Obviously, way that they're... you can't knock that machinery. He spends a lot of money, but similar to Wolves, they've spent it so badly in a lot of transfer windows. And like I said, it's coming to reap what they've sown over the years, hasn't it? They should have went down, not last season. Well, last season and the season before. Somehow, like Leeds and whoever it was last season, the season before, ended up crowbarring Everton out. So hopefully they'll go down this season. Dean, we've got a bit of an announcement to make, haven't we, that you've signed to join the Wolves Fancast team in next weekend's Content Creators Cup at the Wolves Dome. The group draw was announced earlier on this week on Monday. Obviously, Dazzling Dave of the Always Wolves alongside the Wolves Foundation. Group A is Talking Wolves, the 77 Club, Jason Guy's Wolf Whistle Podcast, and the Wolf Pack. That is literally the group of death. I think anyone could win that group from the people that I've saw announced in those teams. The favourites have to be Jason Guy and his absolute ringers, who is somehow crowbarred in, who have got no association with his podcast whatsoever. He thinks, oh, I'm fucking stupid. Group B is Wolves Fancast. We're starting off our campaign against the Wolves staff. And then Wolves Foundation have got a team and they'll be starting off against Always Wolves. It's a charity fundraiser for the Wolves Foundation. You can help us fundraise and donate at www.justgiving.com/page/Content Creators Cup. How's your mindset? How's your legs going into this tournament, Dean?
Well, I've got a fitness test to pass on my ankle first. But yeah, it's all good. I think the Wolves staff will probably be the favourites because I'm guessing they've got some right ballers in there. Depending on where they're pulling them from, is it the media team? Is one of the people not on international duty going to turn up? Technically, it's Wolves staff. I don't know.
I did see, I watched a quick clip of the Wolves under 21 game that's live on their YouTube channel at the moment. And Bruno Jourdain looks sharp in the clip that I saw. Just absolutely rifled the shot just wide. Maybe he'll feature for the Wolves staff because he needs the minutes, doesn't he?
I think it'll be a great event.
You've got a few from the Wolves media team. There'll be a few like staff members, but I'm back in the Wolves Fancast to get out of the group. We've got agents talking to Gav's team about trying to crowbar him in. There is a player that we've got signed, but he hasn't passed his medical yet. If that medical does fail, we're going to be pushing for a late move for Gav. So, like I just mentioned, www.justgiving.com/page/Content Creators Cup.
You can kiss your chances of getting at that group goodbye then if I'm playing on your team.
Gav, you're taller than me. You can go and goal, worst case scenario. Thanks for joining us on tonight's Wolves Fancast at Wolves Fancast with Audi Network and the Boston Coffee Vending Company. Thanks for joining us. Please press the like button before you leave. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We'll be back on Sunday to hopefully talk about a good result over Aston Villa. Thanks for Gavin Dean joining me. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you. Catch you
later. And when you see the quality individually that they have, Neto with Cunha, with the Korean guy.
No comment.